Then I stood and returned to my chair. I sat and looked at her for a few minutes, letting the silence and the fact that she couldn't see me unnerve her a little more. Then I said, "Do you know, Miss Santiago, I really dislike pantyhose. I don't like the way they look, and I don't like the way they feel to the touch. I think you should apologize for wearing them." After a moment, she spoke, quietly. "I'm sorry for wearing pantyhose, Mr. Black." "Take them off." She had been expecting that, obviously, and began rising to her knees, preparatory to standing up. "Did I tell you to stand up, Miss Santiago?" She turned and looked at me, flustered, and said, "No, but I..." "Get back down." She did so. "Put your head on the floor." She slowly lowered herself until her forehead was resting on the rug. "Now, take off your pantyhose." It was an awkward and humiliating process. She had to rest her weight on her forehead while reaching back with both hands and up under her skirt, which had fallen down again, to pull her pantyhose off of her hips and down to her knees. Only then could she lift herself back up to her former position and reach back, one arm at a time, to remove her shoes and then pull her pantyhose the rest of the way off. When they were all piled up behind her feet, I said, "Pull your skirt back up." Again, she reached behind her and repeated the process. Now her cute behind in pink panties was on full display. It was very tempting. I really wanted to run my hands over it. But I was trying to keep my promise not to touch her. So I settled for telling her, "Crawl around the room again." There was no hesitation this time. She started off in the opposite direction, giving me a nice view as she headed out. She was, of course, facing me this time as she completed the circuit, and it was obvious from her expression that she had almost forgotten that this was pretend. When she had returned to her original position, I let her wait for a few more minutes. Then I said, "Take off your skirt." By now, she had become accustomed to doing what she was told to do, so she lowered her forehead to the rug again, losing her glasses in the process this time, and reached behind her back to unfasten and unzip her skirt before pulling it down and off in the same way as she had her pantyhose. Then she put her glasses back on and waited. "Now your blouse." She reached up with one hand to begin untying the bow at her neck, but I said, "No, leave the bow. Just your blouse." This time she took the precaution of removing her glasses and laying them beside her before lowering her head to the rug again and reaching behind her to unfasten the three buttons at her neck. Then she eased the bow above the collar of her blouse, reached back to pull the tail of her blouse up to her shoulders, then grabbed it by the collar to pull over her head. It snagged on the bow, and she had to struggle with it for a moment, but she finally got it off. She quickly smoothed her hair, restored her glasses, and returned to her position. She looked very vulnerable on her hands and knees, wearing nothing but her bra and panties and that now silly-looking bow, the rest of her clothes scattered around her on the floor. "Put your head down on your arms, Miss Santiago." She did so, and I enjoyed looking at the swell of her buttocks as they pressed against the fabric of her panties. "Spread your knees apart." She moved them a few inches apart. "More." She complied, giving me a full view of the bulge between her legs. I looked more closely and saw a darker spot there. Moisture. "Aha," I thought, "I was right. Now let's see how far we can take it." "Now, Miss Santiago, I want you to reach back between your legs with your right hand." She raised her head slightly and did as I'd asked, letting her hand rest palm up on the floor between her ankles. "And now, Miss Santiago, I want you to reach up with your middle finger and touch yourself." She jerked her head from her arm to look back at me and gasped, "John, I mean, Mr. Black, I..." "Head down, Miss Santiago," I told her firmly. I watched as she fought with herself briefly, then slowly lowered her head again. Her right hand still rested on the floor. "I'm waiting, Miss Santiago." This was another transition point, I knew. How completely had she surrendered her will to mine? I waited and watched as her hand rose from the floor, even more slowly than she had lowered her head, gradually extended her middle finger, and brought the tip of it to rest precisely on the wet spot. I heard her take a sudden deep breath as she felt the moisture there, though whether of excitement or mortification or a combination of the two, I didn't know, or care. "Move your finger up and down, Miss Santiago." Slowly her hand began to move. At first it was just a slight up and down movement, just enough to show that she was following my directions. But as I watched, I saw the strokes becoming longer, and that she was using more pressure. After some time she began a subtle back and forth rocking motion that matched the rhythm of her finger strokes, and I heard her starting to make little noises. In the same rhythm. The wet spot between her legs got wetter and spread throughout the crotch of her panties. I watched in silence as her strokes became faster and her grunts more intense. When I judged that she was about to climax, I stepped quietly in front of her, crouched down near to where she still had her head down on her left arm, and said loudly, "Miss Santiago!" Her head jerked up, her eyes wide and startled at seeing me so close. She was breathing heavily through her mouth, and her face and the hair around it were sweaty. I couldn't see, but I was willing to bet she had quickly moved her hand from between her legs.